Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you to the Indigenous Chronicles. Tonight we're going to have a very special guest, and we're going to learn some more about ourselves and more about her, and hopefully you will call in and join us. As always, we're joined by our legendary host, Janet Wonwon-Powell. Janet, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Anthony.
How are you?
Alito. I'm good.
Alito. Good. So we're truly looking forward to this conversation with this sister, and And don't be afraid to call in. Please call in. We implore your calls. I've talked to people who told me that they were enjoying the conversation so much that they elected not to call in. But we would like to hear from you. We would like to join in with the dialogue, and we can all learn and grow together. Anything you'd like to say, Janet?
Absolutely, and your conversations also help grow the show. If you have statements to make, if you want to share your information, or even if you have questions, don't have any fears about calling. That's how we all gather information, and it's how we all learn. I'm excited to hear from this author who's written 6 books, and she's writing about the area where Anthony and I reside, and she's going to share information that clearly I had no idea about. So I'm excited to hear her.
Absolutely. And we are going to come back with this wonderful author and historian, and we will continue the conversation in a couple of minutes after this wonderful song.
We have the truth.
Okay, we are back. We are back, and we are here to learn more about ourselves. Of course, the colonists came to the Americas, and they changed everything. They changed the history. They changed the truth. You know, they bended the truth, and they changed the truth, and they murdered, and they raped, robbed, pillaged, and then they told us all we are African. And for years, we have been saying we're African-Americans. Our guest begs to differ. So without further ado, we are going to present to you our guest, Anita Wills. Anita, are you there?
Yes. Hello.
How are you? How are you?
Okay. Wonderful.
Okay. Can you tell us a little about yourself and, you know, whatever you'd like to say, the floor is yours.
Hi, everyone. Everyone in the studio and everyone out listening. I'm pleased to be here, you know, and to share my story. This is from one of the books that I wrote about my family. I'm a writer, an author, and a genealogy researcher. And I became a genealogy researcher because my mother gave me and my other siblings the oral history of the family that had been passed down to her.
Mm-hmm.
And when I asked her, what was in writing, you know, did we have anything like documents and whatever, because she was telling me that, you know, that we were from the, great-great-grandmother, Lydia, who was, you know, her grandmother was from the Welsh Mountains. And she, and also that, my great-great-grandfather, who was Lydia's father, had fought in the Civil War and also had been in what they called the Christiana resistance. And I wanted to know from her what was documented, you know, like his records in the Civil War, of him being in the Civil War and, you know, all this. And I said, we have to document the history because, you know, when I'm telling people this, you know, the story that she was telling me, they were saying, "Oh, you don't have anything. That's not true." And and they're not native. They're not native. There's no native in Pennsylvania. You know, this is people who were telling me, you know, who I would tell the stories to that my mother was telling me, and my mother would say they don't know anything. They don't know history. They don't know their own history. And so what I did was I sat down and I started writing down what my mother was saying, and I documented it. I found the records from the Civil War. I found writings about the Christiana resistance, and you know, I went to Virginia. The hardest part of our family history to find was the Native, the part where the Natives connected with us. And the reason for that is that at a certain time in history, they changed the Natives' identity from Indian to mulatto, then colored, then Negro. And either they were sent to, you know, to reservations, they were assimilated as white, or they became, you know, Negro. So that was what happened with my mother's family. That they became, and it's mostly in Pennsylvania. I'm talking about my mother's father's family. They were the ones primarily that were up in the Welsh Mountains. And that was, you know, the Greens and Chensons. There was Parkers up there, Boots. They had gone into the mountains. And I went back, I found documents from 1792. And Benjamin Franklin had a newspaper, I believe it was called the Gazette or something. And
yes.
one of his reporters went up into those mountains and talked to Thomas Green. And he called him Tom Green. He said, I went in those, you know, I wanted to find out how this man became, you know, how this man had control of all these mountains. And he called him Afro-Indian or something like that.
Mm.
And he said when he saw him, well, from what he was writing, he didn't really talk to him. He was scared of him. When he saw him, he said, oh, you know, he had seen this, you know, large brown man or whatever. And I think he wanted to know, Tom wanted to know, what are you doing on my land? You know? So he never said what the conversation was with him, that he talked to him. He just mentioned that he did see him. But I think he ran him off that land. That was in the mountains. But the Tom's father, he owned land in Chester County, and he left it to his son. He had Thomas. There was Thomas, Joseph, and a couple of other sons that he left his land to. And he owned land. And when he was getting ready to, he owned what they call patented land. That was the land that was given to, that was given from William Penn to people who would work. You know, if you go there and you would cut down the woods, you would have, he would give you a patent to the land, to clear the land. Then you owned it, you know, as much as you could clear. And then they would do a survey of it. So that's what owning that land, you know, by working it, cutting the trees down and letting a surveyor come in. But even before that, you know, what I found out, like in the 1600s and 1700s, they were down in Delaware. The Greens and the Davises intermarried in Delaware at Sussex County, and they were a part of the Native community in Delaware. And they left, and I think at, you know, from with the history that I studied, the natives that were in Delaware would leave for the winter, and they would come up, come into Pennsylvania, and take what is called the Minqua Trail into the interior of Lancaster and stay there for the winter. So they came and stayed for the winter, and then they would go back to Delaware or wherever they went for the summer. You know, and sometimes they make a circle. They go somewhere else for the spring, and then they make a circle, and they go back to Delaware, you know, to Sussex County. And one of the times that they did that, the European settlers were on their land and had taken their land.
Mm.
So they actually got stuck up in Lancaster County. They wound up not in Lancaster County, but in Pennsylvania. So they would come out. They would come from over the Delaware River into Pennsylvania, and come through what is now Delaware County. But at one time, all of Delaware and Chester, all of Chester County, is what is now Delaware and Lancaster County. So, the Greens owned land that was in Chester County, and then it became Delaware County, and their land went into Delaware County. So where Ridley Creek is now in Delaware, they had a sawmill. George Green owned a sawmill. Okay, so within my line, George Green and Lydia Green married in Sussex County, Delaware. And their daughter, Susanna, is my great-great-great-grandmother. Her name was Lydia. They came into Pennsylvania, and George owned owned a sawmill up there, and the administration building at Ridley Creek right now is where George and his family lived. That was my ancestor, George Green, and he and his and one of his sons, James Green, he was also a prominent businessman in what is now Ridley Creek. And he had a big home there, too. And this was like in the 1800s. They were wealthy people. And all of a sudden, the state comes in, and their land becomes a park, becomes Ridley Park. And we don't know why it wasn't passed down, why, you know, the mill that George Green owned is still, parts of the mill are still there in the park. But somehow all that land that they owned and their businesses went into the state of Pennsylvania's hands. And these were native peoples who became assimilated, you know, became businessmen, were prominent, you know. Henry Green, now this is what happens. Native Americans, did not have surnames until they were Christian. So all these people with the last name of Green were not necessarily related, but they were probably of the same tribe, Susquehanna. Mm. And they were moving back and forth. And at the same time, they were sending traders there. You know, people from Europe were coming, like France. There were French traders, and I don't know if there were any Spanish traders up there, but there were traders that they were sending to trade with the Indians. So when they went into the mountains, and they went up, you know, to live in the Welsh mountains. They were businessmen who were trading. They would go from the Welsh Mountains down to Philadelphia, taking the Great Minqua Trail. And they would go into Philadelphia and get goods off the ships and go back to Lancaster and sell them up until a certain point. Then Lancaster fined them for selling goods without a license. And I just have the feeling that they made it up, you know, they made that law up because they didn't want them selling. They didn't want them to make, you know, to make money. And they said, and I have a document which says that Joseph Green and I think it was Benjamin were selling divers goods. They had Muslim cloth and they had all these goods that they were selling in Lancaster, and they didn't have a license. And this was in 1832. So they were business people, you know. Every time that they did something, they would go after them. They tried to stop them. You know, they were taking their kids from them. They were going up shooting them because they had already, in 1763, there was a massacre of the Conestoga Indians. And after 1763, they said there were no more Indians in Lancaster County. There was a massacre, and I was just, you know, looking at some articles about the massacre, and they said it took place in a jail, but the natives that were a part, you know, that whose history, who have heard the history that was passed down. The Indians they killed were worshiping in a church. They killed children, women and children. And that was in 1763. And then they built the Fulton Opera House on top of their graves where they were killed. And that after that, Pennsylvania said there were no more Indians in Pennsylvania. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is the history that, you know, some of the history that I learned and that my mother told me. And with Henry Green, by the time that he comes along, like he was born about 1838, and they were up in the mountains, and they were basically like isolated, you know. And surrounded by nothing but, you know, Europeans, white people who didn't, who were doing everything they could to get to take their land. So they were isolated, and they would take, you know, people, they would have, the isolation was good because if someone was escaping from slavery, they knew they could go up into those mountains and, you know, stay there and be protected, because the white folks knew better than to try to go into those mountains, because there was no law. Once you crossed into those mountains, that you was under the law of the people who were up there. So they avoided the mountains, going into the Welsh Mountains. And Henry Green, who was my great-great-grandfather and his family, they ran the mountains up there. And they got a wonderful story about Henry's wife. She was his third wife. They were up at, these white people went up into the mountains. I think they were reporters. I guess they were reporters, and it was like in the late 1800s. They went up into the Welsh Mountains, and then they saw, and the reporter was saying, he saw this beautiful young girl, and she was standing there, and she had her hair was down past her, you know, her waist. She had long black hair. She was, you know, had this beautiful. He was describing her as having a brown, you know, complexion, but not like black people, not like African people. That she had beautiful skin, and he was just like, you know, in awe of this beautiful young, you know, this beautiful young girl. And she saw him, and she sicked the dogs on him and ran him down the hill. And it was Henry Green's daughter. It was Henry Green's daughter. So that was not an African that he described right there, with long black hair and beautiful brown skin, you know. They were trying to interview Henry Green, and the daughter and the wife, you know, were keeping people off the mountain. They were like, don't come up here. We don't want nothing to do with you, you know, and we don't want you putting us in your rogues gallery, because they were trying to say everybody up on the mountains was, you know, thieves and stealing stuff. But this is some of the stories that we were told, and about, you know, the Greens and the New York, I think it was the Times, the New York, anyway, there was a New York newspaper that did articles about the Buzzard Gang that was ran, you know, that was, the head of the Buzzard Gang was a white guy, according to them. But, The so-called Negroes that were up on the mountain were a part of the Buzzard Gang. But they would say that they were harassing the blacks, the Negroes up on the mountain. Every time they would see them, they would go in their pockets and take their money. And they were saying they always had a pocket full of money. Where were they getting that money from? You know, these Negro people up on the mountain. And they were almost like, you know, saying that they didn't, you know, well, they weren't almost saying, they were saying it. Why, you know, why are they up there? Who are these people? Like, these people had stepped into their life when they were there before the, you know, before they even colonized. Those people had been up there, up in those mountains. And they didn't even have to own the land until William Penn came. That's when he started saying they needed to own that land. But they had been on that land. You know, that's what my mother told me. We've always been here. You know, there in Coatesville, there's a Lucan steel mill. And my mom said our people were here long before there was a mill. She said there used to be trees there. There used to be, you know, rivers flowing where that mill is. And she said, and they put that ugly mill, you know, they cut down the trees and put an ugly mill in the middle of, you know, of the village where we live, where our people live, where our people are from, and then made us feel like strangers, you know. And,
wow.
And my grandfather, who is her dad, Grandpa Martin, his people were Chief Joseph Branch, who was the chief of the Iroquois Federation. That's who his people were, the Martins and the Johnsons. And they were they fought on the British side during the Revolutionary War, and all of them were run up to the Onondaga Reservation in Canada. And then they started after the War of 1812, they started coming back into the area, into Pennsylvania, as colored people and working on farms and stuff. So that's what these are the Martins, who are my other, you know, native ancestors. But they too would become Negroes. You know, they were colored, mulatto, and then Negro. When I was born, they had colored on my birth certificate, on me and my siblings. And I was like, why are they calling us colored on our birth certificate? And my mom said, well, because we're mixed race, you know, because we're native, we're African, we're, you know, white people, you know, there's some white people who were in the family, you know. But she said, we are native. We were here first, you know. We were here, and this is our land. That they've come and they've taken it from us, and they treat us like dirt on our own land, you know. And so Henry Green, you know, with that background, he was, he grew up in the mountains, but he would come down to work on the farm. So some of the senses I found with him on there, he's living on a farm and he's working to, you know, feed the family and stuff. So he lived in that. He would come. He was on 9/11/1851. After they passed what they called the Fugitive Slave Act, Henry was, you know, he was working in the area of Christiana. And William Parker, who also was part Native, they called him an ex-slave and something like that. They didn't know nothing about William Parker. He had been free. He had been free. He was living in Lancaster, and he was married in his house. But he was also working the Underground Railroad, because another fact that we don't talk about that much is the fact that those Underground Railroads that led all the way up to Canada, all those pathways were Native trails. That's what they were taking up into Canada. And the Natives were the ones that had been showing the slaves, because how would the slaves know how to get to Canada when they first came to America? Nobody knew. They didn't even know where they were. And the Natives were taking them and helping them to escape, you know. William Parker and Henry knew how to go up into Canada too. You know, they all knew how to go into Canada. They go up there hunting, you know, and bring stuff back. And this day on 9/11/1851, this white guy came from Maryland, and he stood at William Parker's door, and William Parker told him, you know, he was there with the federal marshals, and he was there with a white militia. you know, the marshals had deputized, you know, these white guys and said, and to protect the guy who was looking for his slaves. And William Parker told him, I'm not, you know, there's no slaves here. You know, we don't have slaves. You can't enslave another human being. He was just, you know, like in the man's face, and he was like, you have my slaves. And he said, you know, it's against God for one man to own another. You can't come to my house talking about you got slaves here. That's, you know, we don't have slaves here. And so the guy tried to push past him, and William Parker shot the guy in the chest and killed him. Mm-hmm. And a riot started because, you know, what they didn't realize was that they were part of a black militia. You know, they knew they were a white militia, but these were, no, they called it the Negro Mutual Association, but it was a militia who were there to fight against whites coming and kidnapping people and, you know, saying they had been slaves and taking them, you know, back south. So this militia, the Negro militia, had assembled while the white men were all standing in front of the door and, you know, trying to protect the slave owner, the Negro militia attacked them. You know, as soon as the dude hit the ground, the Negro militia attacked the federal marshals and the white militia and started beating them, and they started running. All of them ran to the hills. And the blacks were, you know, and they had guns, and the blacks didn't have guns. They had farm tools, and they were beating them with the farm tools. I mean, this is why you'll never see that in a film. You know, if it was white people attacking blacks, they'd make a film about it. But they ran them off. The guy's name was Dickinson, and then his son, he died, but his son was there, and they almost beat him to death. And the next day they sent in the federal marshals. But by that time, William Parker was on his way to Canada, so they had got him and his family out of there, and the slaves they had upstairs in the attic. They got them all on the Underground Railroad, right going through the Welsh Mountains into Canada. You know,
wow.
To Canada.
Wow.
Marie,
what do you know? Harriet Tubman, I have a photo of her moccasins, her mock.
Yes.
Because she was leading enslaved people out of Maryland through Philadelphia, up through Pennsylvania,
yep,
New York, and into Canada. And you're right. You know, they were following,
mm-hmm,
they were following the trail. I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the streets in our neighborhood in Philadelphia, mm-hmm, are named after those areas there, the Susquehanna, the river,
right,
in Schuylkill, you know, the Schuylkill,
mm-hmm,
River, where fishing was, mm-hmm, going on. But I also read that there was no formal deed for the land. That when Washington came to Philadelphia, he,
mm-hmm,
did an agreement, which was a peace agreement, but it was not an agreement for the land. So Philadelphia,
wow,
they acquired Philadelphia through a walking purchase.
Mm. I remember that.
Yeah. Because I'm trying to figure out the, mm-hmm, I'm trying to see the possibility of getting, mm-hmm, of us getting land that,
right,
was not deeded. So go ahead and tell your story, but I just wanted to,
yeah,
throw that in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Penn had set aside land for the natives that were there. And my mother said, well, you know, our people were Penn Indians. They were given hunting and fishing rights. And then,
mm-hmm,
that land that they lived on in the Welsh Mountains belonged to them. That was Penn had ceded that land to them. you know.
Wow.
And I do have these with Penn's sons. I have warrants and patents where Penn's sons signed the land over to my ancestors, you know.
Wow.
And yet the Lancaster, you know, like the county won't even sit down with me. And also the, who is it, the newspaper, after my book came out, he was trying to make fun of my book, you know, like I had made stuff up and, you know, like, but he did not talk about the deeds that I was talking about.
Right.
You know, that I found. I went up into the archives and I found the deeds where my ancestors owned that land. They weren't just squatting. They try to say they were squatting, but actually the whites went up there and squatted and took the land from my ancestors. You know, took the land from Henry Green and his descendants. And they were fighting for that land because Thomas Green, he owned that land. You know, that was in 1792 when they went up there. And Thomas was living on that land and owned it.
Do you know, Anthony and Falls, we may need to connect with Chief Two Hawks because they were able to get the land designated to them that Brown tenants, but they actually got that land designated to the people, to the indigenous people.
Right.
That's Brown University. So if he was able to do it in the process that he went through, why can't
right.
we hook them up? Why can't we mm-hmm. all hook up and find out?
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree. And I think that this is the rallying call. I think we should mm-hmm. definitely get behind his sister because
yes.
she has documents. She has she has facts, and
yeah.
I
right.
think that we should definitely get together. Let me say this real quick, give out the number again real quick, 563-999-3442, press 1 to join the conversation. Now,
yeah.
before you continue, there's two things I'd just like to say real quick. Concerning your relatives who lived throughout Lancaster and Delaware, these folk, to me, they sound like they were very civilized, very organized, very intelligent people. They sound like they were spiritual people.
Right.
And let me ask you this. Were they people who lived in teepees or did they live in homes?
They lived in what looked to me like longhouses. Like it was one of the houses I saw. It looked like it had a round top to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was somewhere between a house and a teepee.
Okay.
You know, and
yeah.
It wasn't. You know, the structures were meant to keep them warm, but they lived. You know, they were more like the natives who were a part of the surroundings because it was so beautiful up there. There was a lot of trees. There was water up there. There was fish. You know, they were self-sufficient. And but they didn't build, like, large structures or anything like that, you know.
Okay.
They didn't build large structures that I know of, you know.
Yeah.
And from my mother's description, it wasn't large structures.
Okay. They were the East Coast and here had long houses.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what it looked like to me. It looked like the structures I saw looked like more like long houses, you know, and they lived by the water. There's a river up there, and that's where they mostly live, you know, and they went up there and polluted the river. They put I think the nuclear waste plant up there or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, that's what they do. Now also, when they had allegedly murdered all the people, and they built the what was it that you said they built on top of the church murdered
Fulton,
the people.
It was called Fulton Opera House.
Okay. Now, what I'm saying is they allegedly murdered all of the people, right? Allegedly,
no,
according
to
them.
No, it was like 14 people because they had already,
right.
They ran them down out of the mountain. See, they
okay.
ran them down, but they had already murdered people up in the mountains. They had gone up
okay.
there with guns, and they were killing
okay.
people up in the mountains.
And right,
so when the history talks about it, they'll say, oh, we don't know how many were up in the mountain. You know, they don't know how many were killed in the mountains,
right.
You know.
But they're assuming
but
say they murdered them all.
They were Conestoga Indians, yeah.
Yeah, but they're trying to say that they got rid of all of them, right? Is that what they're trying to
right.
say in their,
at the
according
instance,
to their
yeah.
history? The point I'm trying to make is I've heard stories where folks would not say that they were Indian because
right.
they were trying to save, you know, the lives of, you know, the next generation. So it was like,
right.
you know, just blending in or assimilating. And that's when some folks would just say, yeah, we have some Indian in us. And
right.
not really pursue it, you know, for, you know. So was it that kind
yeah.
of situation with your family? Do you think it was that kind of situation?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. We had a cousin. I have a cousin named Pocahontas, you know.
Wow.
And we knew her. We knew that her mother was Native, but they were,
mm-hmm.
you know, they were in the church. They were assimilated. Except for the name
yeah.
Pocahontas,
mm-hmm.
you know, and my mother said when they were in school, like the school that my mother went to, they were the only people there. They were the only people of color there, and she said
okay.
whenever they were doing something about the Indians, my mother, they would make my mother Pocahontas. You know, my mom
mm-hmm.
said I was always Pocahontas, you know,
yeah.
in that school, you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and she said that. When they would leave, they would go to school, and the whites would be fighting them, and they would come back from school, and the blacks would be fighting them. You know,
really?
In other words, it was like they didn't fit in, and you know, with whites or blacks. And
wow.
And we, you know, we knew, like my mother, I knew because my mother was pointing them out to me. These are our cousins, who our Native cousins were. In the community,
mm-hmm.
but they were not, they were like assimilating, you know.
Yeah.
They weren't
yeah.
doing. Nobody that I knew was doing anything Native. You know,
okay.
nobody
let me
that
ask
I
you,
knew was doing anything. Yeah.
Let me ask you also now. Prior to the invasion of these white folk.
Mm-hmm.
Were your people Christian, or was what was their did they have a belief system?
Well, their belief system, you know, like my mother, who was in the church, was Christian.
Right.
You know,
so I'm saying prior to the European contact.
But my before this, okay, they had their own beliefs and practices. And
right.
even after they were forced to join the church, they still continued them because they said they
okay.
were continuing them up on the mountain. They
yeah.
continued the Native practices up on the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And up until they built a mission school there, I think it was the they built a mission school up on the mountain, and
yeah.
then they started following them around. The Mennonites, I think, built a mission school up on the mountain.
Yeah, right.
So they had to be more secretive about what they were doing. But my grandfather
mm-hmm.
didn't go to no church. My grandpa, his church was up in the mountain. That's where he would go, like when he was the only child, and he would go and spend the summer up in the in the Welsh mountains with his grandfather, who was, mm-hmm. you know, great, you know, who was up in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And they did their own medicine. Like, my mother taught us how to make brews and stuff like that when we were sick, or to keep from getting sick. We did everything. They would bring stuff like bark from the trees and stuff like that, and herbs, and we would brew them. And that's how we, you know, got through, you know, I mean, if there was something ailing us, we didn't go to the doctors. We, you know, my mother would make some kind of tea, or somebody would make a tea or something, and that's how she, you know, that's how we kept healthy, you know.
Wonderful. Tell everyone about your book. Give them the name and how they can get it.
Okay, my book is Black Minkwa, The Life and Times of Henry Green. And you can get it. It's available through Amazon.com as a Kindle book, and also as a paperback. And in the book, you will see that Henry Green and many of they were all related, by the way. All those people that lived in that area, the people of color, were related. They were intermarrying and intermixing. And after the Christiana resistance, they were arrested. All the Negro men were arrested and put in a pig pen and held for trial. They were charged with treason. And they were taken to Philadelphia and tried for treason. And Thaddeus Stevens was their attorney. He was George Washington's right-hand man. I mean, not George Washington. He was Abraham Lincoln's right-hand man, Thaddeus Stevens. And he had a mulatto girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And so he got them off on treason, all of them. He got Henry Green. William Parker was gone. He was in Canada. But all the guys that showed up for trial were found not guilty because they couldn't identify. The white people didn't know one Negro from another Negro. And so they were let go. And when the Civil War started, they all joined the Civil War out of Lancaster County, the 41st United States Colored Troops. Henry Green fought in the Civil War, and his brother fought, and all of the so-called Negro men who were part of the Mutual Association or militia or whatever, they all joined the Civil War. They fought in the United States Colored Troops. Yes.
I'm talking loud.
Yeah. And they don't talk about, when they said it was a United States Colored Troop, right there should tell you that there was natives in the United States Colored Troop. That's why they called it a colored troop, but not a black troop or an African troop.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your book is very historical.
Yeah.
And, it gives a lot of people, I think it's going to give a lot of people the courage to go into their own family trees and to dig those roots up and to find out that, in fact, that they have ties here to the Americas also. But
right.
I really want... those of you who have some idea as to what we can do to help to effectuate the necessary change for the sister with
mm-hmm.
all the documents that she has,
please
contact us so that we can, you know, get this going, because this
mm-hmm.
is going to blow the lid off of a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some phenomenal, credible. Now, folks say incredible. No. This is some credible information. And we really need to support our sister and make sure that this comes to light.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Yeah. She has an inheritance. And
right.
It should come down to her from her family. And at the same time, while we're revving up her stuff, we can look at the documents and the deeds and the information for Philadelphia as well. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah,
you know,
because they would go to Philadelphia. They would send some of the kids. I talked to relatives who were sent to live in Philadelphia, you know, because they wanted them to go to school or whatever. And
right.
Yeah, so they would send them from the mountains, and they would also send them to foster care in Philadelphia because they were taking the kids and putting them in foster care.
Wow.
And, yeah, because my great-grandmother had some of her relatives that she took care of. They were in foster care at her place in Chester County. Yep.
Okay.
We have a 909 on the line. 909, are you there? 909. Okay, moving forward. 909. 727.
I'm here. How are you?
Hello.
Can you hear me? It's Joy Spirit.
Hi, Joy.
Yes,
hi, how are you? It's so good to hear you guys another Monday.
Yes, well,
and what an exciting guest. Her story has me like sitting here waiting for the next part. You know, she's like very, very, you know, animated in her memory. You know, it's astounding how she remembers so many details of her ancestors and growing up and, you know. And I was just wondering because she mentioned Delaware. Did you mention Delaware, or am I mixing the story with the story?
Yes.
I heard you mention Delaware. What were
Delaware
you saying
County.
About Delaware?
Delaware.
Delaware
oh,
County.
You mean Delaware,
so.
Yeah. Before it became Delaware County, they owned land there. They had cleared land. There was a man who was called Cornelius Green, who fought in the Revolutionary War and out of Lancaster County. And we haven't been able to connect Cornelius, but he was down in Delaware and he worked at the mill. He was a millwright after the Revolutionary War at the same mill that my ancestor George Green owned. He was a millwright there. And so I'm thinking he would have had to be related. They knew each other. He worked at the mill. And so, Delaware, there's a place called Marcus Hook down there. And the ships used to land, like, in Philadelphia. And sometimes they would get off, like, I think it was Blackbeard or one of the pirates. But they said he used to go to Marcus Hook. He used to come to Marcus Hook after he got off, you know, after his ship landed, him and I guess, you know, whoever else was on that ship would be there. But they were saying some people believe that that's where the Moors came from, off of that ship.
Lots of ships used to come into Delaware.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they think that they came. The Moors, you know, got off the ship and stayed, you know.
And what was the name of the tribe, the clan that you're speaking of?
Well, they were the Greens, G-R-E-E-N-S.
The Greens. So that was actually a name of a clan, the Greens. Or did they take
that
name after Christianity?
They were given that name when they were christened.
And before that?
And we don't know what the names were before that, you know,
because
they, you know, they're lost. They didn't, like I found my ancestor, Benjamin Green, I found where he was christened at. He was christened at St. Martin Episcopal Church in Delaware, in Marcus Hook. I think it's in Marcus Hook. anyway, but they didn't have his name before he was christened. They just had his, you know, Benjamin Green, colored, that he was christened there.
So they have in Pennsylvania, these Indians called the Susquehannocks. Are you familiar with that tribe?
No.
Susquehannocks. Now, those were some of the main tribes in Pennsylvania that the Europeans speak of encountering. So you're saying that you, pardon?
Yeah, we're Susquehanna. We're Susquehanna.
Susquehanna, okay. So your family used to go up and down the coastline. That was very familiar to your family, going up and down. Because my family did the same thing. We were in the south, but we used to always travel north because we have family in both places. And I can remember my mother always taking us from the north to the south. It was like a regular trip that we used to take always. And it got me familiar with the fact that we weren't just from one place.
Yeah. Because my mother said that they used to go down to Maryland. Like, she was in Chester County when she was growing up. But my father, she said her father used to take them every year. They would go down to Maryland. And he would take the boat, and they would go down, stay by the river. And I think it's a fall, when they're talking about the fall of the Susquehanna, the falls or something like that, and they would go, they would eat crabs and stuff, get crabs out of the water, you know, and she described that to me about, you know, her and my grandparents and her siblings.
Let me tell you something.
So they live very nomadic. They live very.
We're down to our last minute.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. It was great listening to you, and I look forward to getting your book.
Okay.
I'll try to get 4283 in real quick. We have 1 minute left. Are you there, 4283?
I'm here. How are you guys doing tonight?
Real quick.
Hi.
We're down to our last minute.
All right, let me hurry up and get it in. I was just going to say that word Joy just used was a Susquehanna. It's the same thing as Susquehanna. So it's the same word.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Beautiful show. I want more.
Yeah. You're going to come back. We're going to do a part two with you because
anytime.
We have so much more to do. Thank you.
Okay.
And our time is up. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to thank you for coming once again to the Indigenous Chronicles, and we will look forward to talking to you next week. I know this is a lively show, and if, fact, you know you can help, please contact us so that we can help this sister get her land back.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Love it.
This is powerful.